RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Monday Val and
Beans. Tis Monday. What'd you do this weekend?
This weekend, what the hell?
It was a good weekend. You don't even remember what you did. That's a good weekend.
Yeah, I guess it can go either way. Was it good or was it really just that? It wasn't as cold as last weekend. Yesterday just we hung around. Mm. I went to go see my aunt and we picked up some food. A lot of people have been sending food and she doesn't have any place to take it. So we just brought, that's it. And then Saturday was... I don't remember. I don't know. What about you?
Oh, the weekend was something. Okay. Definitely something. Saturday, went to the gun show here in Horry County.
Did you buy a gun?
I did not. We actually, the GOP has a nice little booth at each gun show here. And we sit and we talk and we recruit people for the cause. So that's what we did this Saturday. And then I had Viviana's friend was staying here with us for several days. Which was fun. She stayed from Wednesday and she left yesterday. And I'm like debating whether or not you remember I was supposed to go to the Billie Eilish concert for Viv's birthday. And then she said, you know what? I don't want to go because she is, telling people at her concerts that they should be doing abortion. And Viviana's like huge anti-abortion person.
Yeah. Yeah. Billie Eilish is just a zombie weirdo. Go ahead, though.
She is. She is a zombie weirdo. So I wasn't able to get rid of those tickets. Nobody wanted them. So Viv was like, you got them. You spent the money on them. Maybe we should just go have a good mother-daughter experience, right? Do a little day trip, go to Charlotte, spend some time together, get a hotel, whatever. So I was like, fine, we'll do it. So a couple of days in the middle of last week, they emailed us and said, the concert venue saying you need to have proof of a negative COVID test to enter. And the test needs to be done within 48 hours of the concert. So I was like, well, I could tell you right now, I'm probably not going to pass that test because you could test positive for COVID in quotes for months after you have COVID.
Yeah.
Long story short, we get the home tests that tell you, they give you a report that you can print out and hand in. And we were both negative for COVID. Surprise, surprise. Right. That was good. And, nice. Yeah. And then I get ready to go. We're getting ready to go yesterday. Got the hotel all ready. We're like, all right, we're going to go. We're going to have a great time. It'll be fantastic. And I get an email at 8 in the morning. No home tests allowed.
So, okay. So, but isn't the government sending everybody home tests?
Yeah. Yeah. So, but they say here in their little email specifically, and I'll tell you where this is going because it went. It says proof of negative COVID-19 test. No at-home tests will be accepted in capital letters. And then it says pictures of tests or guests physically bringing tests would not be accepted, which that I understand. And then it says tests must be dated within 48 hours of the show. PCR and antigen tests must include documentation from a testing site or pharmacy. And then the bottom one says name on test must match guest ID. Children under 12 don't need to show ID. So I'm like, well, first of all, she doesn't have ID. She just turned 16. She doesn't have ID yet. That's number one. Number two, clearly what we have is not from a laboratory or a testing site or pharmacy. So I wrote them Viv said, we're already sacrificing our integrity to go to this at all. She's like, I'm done. We're not going. She's like, we don't give in to this nonsense. Enough is enough.
Yep.
Because there was a testing site on location that you could use. For another $40. And I'm like, by the time I'm done with this, I'm in it like who knows how much money for what? We didn't even want to go in the first place.
I know.
So I wrote them an email and I said, I just want to tell you what you're doing to perfectly healthy people and their families. And I went on a long diatribe about all of this and a nice scalding email. And I get a phone call at like 3:30 from them. Where they say, you can come, that'll be fine, we'll accept that. And I said, it's too late now. First of all, I had to give up my hotel room. Second of all, I'm 4 hours away, okay? I can't get there in time now.
But you see, here's the thing. Once again, this is almost like in a, you know, in an entertainment venue kind of way. What was going on at the hospital when I was seeing my grandmother before she died? It was, you know, for whatever this entire system is being set up for, to supposedly keep people safe.
Yeah.
The leeway that they have given each other to make calls and say, oh, no, it's okay, we can put this, you know, whatever. Or like when the nurses or the whatever at whoever the hell was at the front desk at the hospital, when they asked me, do you have a negative test or a vaccine card? And I said, no to both. And, you know, one woman was like looking around like, oh, what do I do? And then the other woman leans over and says, yes, he does. Uh-huh. I'm like, yes, he does have, like, let him in. And I'm like, oh, okay. I was grateful, as I told you before. I was grateful. But at the same time, if this was a life and death situation, there is no leeway.
No, for there stuff isn't. Like that. Right. No, you don't say, okay, he's okay. Just let him through. Yeah. No. You don't do it. Right.
You don't do that stuff. So it's
all a joke. It's a big fraud. And not only that, but like I said to her, I said, your instructions were explicit in their wording. You know, I'm not going to drive all the way there to then find out like, oh, no, you've come all the way here now and you're spending all that money on Joe Biden's gasoline and. And good for my daughter again, because I understood where she was coming from, where she was like, hey, you know, whatever. I know what my principles are. You have the tickets. I asked you for them. I feel bad you spent the money on them. Let's go. We'll make a day of it, mom and daughter. You know, we'll mock her while we sit there and we'll make fun of everybody. And, you know, that was what we were going to do. So we were trying to figure out like what clothes we were going to wear, if we were going to wear our tyranny shirts. You know, we were making a day out of it, you know.
Yeah. Nice event.
Yeah, it would have been a very interesting experience with her. But again, she's like, I'm not sacrificing my integrity anymore. And neither should you, mom. And I said, you know what? This is like the most amazing thing, that this is the best gift ever, just to know that she is so strong in her convictions about everything that she's willing to just be like, eh, whatever. Like,
yeah, well, it's one of those things where you're all right leaving her behind now, you know? You know that you've made a woman of integrity.
Yeah, no one is jabbing this one behind my back, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
that's good. Yeah,
so that was what happened to me yesterday. And so I ended up taking my son school shopping because he needed clothes. And I spent the day at the walking around Tanger outlets, watching everybody look at the signs on the doors that said, please wear your mask and walk in without them. It was really fun. It was good. It was really good. Some of these stores are so funny. Like everybody walks in without a mask and the people standing at the front are like, hi, they're wearing their masks. It was funny. It was funny. Anyway,
it's getting to be like that over here too.
Oh, really?
It really is. I mean, there's always going to be I guess got to qualify it by saying there's always going to be people who are gone now, and there are always going to be people who shoot you dirty looks. Like, you can't really put up with this anymore.
I do want to say that brings me to the next thing that I wanted to talk about today, and I want to say this because I think a lot of people are feeling this, and I want to get it out there, Frank. So everybody now is jumping on the bandwagon of COVID. People that have never really spoken up about it before, people that have kind of ignored all the evidence and information that people like me and you have been sharing and Uncovered DC has been reporting for years now, when the reputational risk was very high for them to be talking about the vaccine dangers, they wouldn't talk about them, right? But now that so many people are talking about it, the reputational risk is very low. So they've decided now it's safe for them to come out and token this issue as their own. And I've gotten a lot of emails from people that are frustrated and angry about this. People that are involved in it, like at different levels, who are mad that now all of a sudden it's okay for you to talk about it. But we've been pounding this drum for years and nobody said anything, you know, since the you know what I mean?
And you mean like the nightly talks on Bill Maher now?
Yeah, well, yeah, Bill Maher and like other quote influencers within our midst that are now like big anti-vax people when they couldn't be bothered when, you know, people were being forced to do it at work. They couldn't be bothered to talk about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And absolutely.
It's frustrating. It makes me angry. Because here we all are, we laid the groundwork for this. If it weren't for all of us out here pounding this drum day in and day out over months and months and months, then this wouldn't have happened. But at the same token, while we probably won't get any recognition, and I know I definitely won't get any, it's okay. Do you want to know why?
Why?
Because we did it. It is now mainstream acceptable to talk about the dangers of the vaccine.
It really is. And it all mainly because there's no way to get around it anymore.
No, there isn't.
There has been for a while.
Right. Agreed. Because now it's getting to be so freaking obvious that, you know, to not talk about it is almost criminal. If you're anybody that has any modicum of, you know, respect for yourself at all. But I always said this, and we talked about this when the 40% thing came out. And when this is going to end for real is when the insurance companies are really hurting in their bottom lines. When they are having a trouble because they're paying out on so many claims for so many tests and so many things. And then life insurance companies are paying out on so many deaths that they can't stay in business anymore. That's when this will all start to change.
Right.
Someone's got to pay the piper. Someone's got to pay the piper. The health insurance, the disability claims alone, Frank.
Well, that's already happening.
I know.
That's already happening.
I know. The disability claims are up. The life insurance policies are up. You know what else is up? Funeral home stock in the publicly traded, very few publicly traded funeral homes. I mean, the revenue increase quarter to quarter. It's really sad because that means a lot of people are dying. A lot of people are dying, and they're not going to be able, with all of that happening and all of the permanent disability and even short term disability that's being taken care of under health insurance right now. That's when the tide will start to change. And it's going to start soon.
Yes.
But don't be mad at the people who are now speaking out finally, even though I do harbor some resentment in a way to them, because this stuff was shown to them a long, long, long time ago. And nobody had the balls with their big microphones to stand there and say anything. That bothers me. But it just means we won.
Well, the big microphones are the ones that are. I think that's what has been a big part of this weekend too. It's where are the big microphones? You know, who are the biggest microphones out there? What are their responsibilities? Who holds them in check? What can be lost? Who's in control? You know, that's there's so much being lost as far as the grip on media itself.
Yeah.
What's allowed? Who you're allowed to talk to? What you're allowed to talk about? The context therein. It's so topsy turvy right now. It's like we're watching the ground shake and swell and reform itself in everything. So yeah, it's one of those things where you're gonna. Are you the type that doesn't need the ground to resettle to see what the new lines are, to be able to talk about what you see or whatever, or because that's just what a lot of people do. They wait to see what's acceptable, and then they go and they push it to that limit and stay within the lines.
Yep.
And then others just see what they see and say what they feel about it, and they take the they shoulder the consequences. Those are usually the ones who are responsible for reforming the lines too.
Yeah, it's the Patriot quote in the beginning of a change.
The Winter Soldier.
It's, and then let's talk about soldiers. Joe Rogan, you're not a soldier. You're not. This apology video over the weekend for this N-word fiasco that's going on. What the hell? Like, why are you capitulating? You're weak. You're weak. Capitulating to the mob that you know exactly what they're doing. You know. And they're all hypocritical. You could find them doing the same crap. I don't even want to talk about Howard Stern, the guy who's turned into a tyrant over the past couple of years. What he's coming out and whatever. Dude, seriously? Howard Stern? You want to go through his past a bit, Frank?
Well, he made comment about Joe Rogan?
He's made comments about everything, like talking. I don't know if he specifically talked about the N-word video, but he's talking about how anybody that says anything about the vaccine should be like thrown in a gulag, basically.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah. So he and you know, saying the government needs to take control of all this stuff and hold these people accountable and blah, blah, blah. Whoa, dude. And then, you know, on the social justice warrior stuff, I could have sworn my husband told me he had said something about that. And he was like, he was like the biggest Howard Stern fan for the reasons that everybody else was, that he pushed the envelope, that he didn't care, that he said things that were, quote, unacceptable in polite society, but everybody laughed at, you know?
Right.
And then that's how he made his whole career. Like, my Will was like, that's why he went to Sirius in the first place.
Yeah, because he couldn't, because he wanted to say even more.
Yeah, that he couldn't say. So it's just to watch the hypocrisy. And yeah, Bill Maher is coming around and saying all the things that he should have said, you know, whenever he should have said them. And
but it, he never goes all the way.
No, of course not.
I mean, yeah, so that's just, it never goes all the way.
Like, who is Rogan going to have on his show now, Frank? Like
anybody. I listen, unless he really torpedoes himself and follows their rules, he can have anybody, and anybody who gets an invite to go on that show would be stupid to decline it because they're only making him bigger. But then again, like I said, when we were talking about this on Friday, it's really not even about him at this point. He has to manage his brand, however, but he's too big to stop. This is really about how they're going to burn out all of the saplings at the bottom of the forest floor. He's a redwood. He can do whatever he wants.
He's going to take himself down if he keeps capitulating.
I don't know. He's not going to take himself down. He's going to make it harder for other people because he can withstand this. It's unbecoming when he makes apologies to the degree that he has made them. It's unbecoming because it's like an admission of guilt when there should be none.
Yep.
But he's making it harder for other people because he's going to weather this fine.
You think so? I don't.
Yeah. It's too big. It's too big. Unless he puts limits on his own career, he does it himself and says, no, there has to be new methods and of how I bring on guests and who I talk to and where we're allowed to go. Unless he puts limits on himself, that's the only way that he's going to take himself down.
I'm going to differ with you a little bit on this. Let's see how it plays out.
Okay.
Because I see the writing on the wall already. He's weaknessed himself into a corner he will not escape from at this point.
Well, we'll have to see. I'm definitely not. I definitely don't have a network that is anywhere near the size of his. But
no.
Regardless if I had 11,000 people watching or 11 million people watching, there are certain things, even in the first apology or the first address.
Right.
About Malone and McCullough and all that stuff. There's things there as we listened to it together I would not have gone to. He was a little bit too self-deprecating when he didn't have to be.
Did you hear the one from the other day?
I heard a little bit of it, yeah. It's just, you know, don't. It's just.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Don't need to do it.
No, you don't need to do it. And that's what I keep saying, like, stop apologizing. Just stop it. Stop apologizing. So we're going to move to the, we'll talk about Heather McDonald real quick. She's a comedian. I don't know who she is. Just to be plain, I've never seen her before. But she was doing a comedy show and she says her second joke was about how she's vaccinated. She said, I'm vaxxed, double vaxxed, boosted and flu shot and shingle shot and haven't gotten COVID and Jesus loves me most. And then she passed out and hit her head on the floor and, you know, hurt her skull and got a concussion and was rushed to the hospital.
Like it was part of the punchline.
Which people thought that it was. People thought that it was a joke. So nobody rendered aid to her for a good little while there until she wasn't getting up anymore. She was conscious, but they thought it was part of this joke. And her sister-in-law took her to the hospital and she got dizzy, she said. And then she collapsed and then she was in the hospital overnight. And they couldn't figure out what happened to her or why this happened. And that's what happens when you have a vaccine injury. No one can figure out why.
Right. Yeah, they could. It's just that no one's allowed to consider it.
Well, no, I mean, most of the time, honestly, the tests all come back normal. So they don't know what made you have the reaction that you had. So she got all her tests came back normal and they had no idea why she fainted. Mm. And then they go to, oh, you must have been dehydrated. I don't know about you, but I've been dehydrated before. How many times do you pass out when you're dehydrated?
No, I get tension headaches. If I'm dehydrated, the first thing I know, I start getting these headaches in the temples, and I know, oh damn, you know, I better go slug a few glasses of water.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's all, when it's like turning a switch on and off, and all of a sudden you're unconscious on the ground.
Yeah, no.
No, that creeps up on you.
Yeah, you know, you have time. You get thirsty. You know. Yeah. You know. So yeah. So just the irony of it all. Like, she's delivering this line about how great she is, that she's vaccinated so much for so many things, and then she passes out on stage in the middle of it, is something to behold. But that's how karma works, you know.
Yep. Indeed.
All right, let's move to the Canada Truckers real quick, because there's been a lot of movement over the weekend between their fundraisers and what the government there is doing. And I don't know, like, I was talking to a good friend of mine and we were talking about it, and he was saying, I feel like this, there's like divine supervision over this thing, because I was saying, like, all it's going to take is for them to plant one crazy in there and that's it. But it doesn't seem like that's their plan, at least not yet. Other than the anti-trucker convoy person who ran over four people with his mask on in his car. That happened over the weekend. Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
Terrible. It's funny where all the violence comes from, huh?
It always is. Here's the thing, though. Whenever you see these things pop up, especially when they start becoming a lot, they have good momentum, they start becoming unable to control, as far as steering media narrative about it all, mm-hmm. then you have to expect it at this point. They're going to try to co-opt it. They're going to send a plant there with a Nazi flag or a swastika, Confederate battle flag or something. And of course, with the plant comes 18,000 cameras, where they all gather around the one idiot that's been there, and they try to discredit the millions that are involved. So it always comes down to this, and you see people waffling about it in the comment sections and on Twitter, and that it's like, this is co-opted. This is going to be this is all a psyop. It's this and that. And I understand what people are saying, but it gets to a point where it can't matter anymore. What are we going to do? You stay home. Now, obviously, there are things that are, there are, you know, red flag, radioactive things, like the the January 6th. There was a couple of different gatherings in Washington, D.C. that were just.
Oh, the Patriot March thing. Yeah, like those guys
smelled to high heaven.
Yep.
Okay. And then, of course, you saw everybody was in uniform and they were marching in double file and. And they had the obvious feds all over the place. So there's things like that. But this, there's too many markers of something that's original. And of course, the outcry against it makes you know that there's no way that they can control it. So yeah, there's always going to be some way to try to take it down or turn it violent when it's not. But it's going to get to a point where the reason why people are staying out there, and the reason why that if they're not truckers, there are Canadian civilians that are, or citizens that are baking cakes and rolls and buns and sausages, and they're sending everything out there to make sure that these truckers have what they need to stay out there and keep clogging the system, is because they know this is the final chapter.
Yeah.
There's nothing on the other end of this. Justin Trudeau is a great reset Klaus Schwab stooge of the World Economic Forum, like many other leaders and their cabinets around the world. And this is the end if they don't do something. So you can't stay home anymore, or wherever you are, whatever you can do, use your voice, however you can contribute. Everybody's just got to do what they can.
So GoFundMe, they raised like $10 million on GoFundMe, and GoFundMe said, oh, after the government talked to us, we think there's violence here, and here they have not released any evidence of violence. And they decided they were going to take all that money from the people that donated it and divert it to charities of their choosing. And then there was a little bit of an uproar about that. So they said, you know what, if you want a refund, just ask us for a refund. We'll give one to you. And then whatever's left over, we'll donate it to charities of our choosing. And then people started calling in chargebacks. What does that mean?
I don't know.
When you call your bank and you say, these people took my money, they're using it against my will, I want it back. And every time the payment processor or the credit card or the bank gets one of those, they charge GoFundMe $15 or $20 to adjudicate it, regardless. So now every time someone was calling one of those in, $20 charge, $20 charge, $20, they were losing money. So they decided, you know what, never mind. Due to feedback from all you guys, we're going to just release all the money back to you. You'll have it within 7 to 10 business days.
Hmm.
Then attorney generals across the country started getting involved because you're not allowed to take someone's money for one cause and then give it to something else that they didn't intend it to go to.
Yeah. Especially since it's going to go to actual violent organizations, probably.
I mean, they funded the entire CHOP protest on GoFundMe. The entire thing where people were being killed and murdered and shot.
Well, how many arsonists did they bail out exactly. in one way or another?
Yes. Yes. So the hypocrisy started to shine through. And so GoFundMe is now being investigated by several state AGs, Florida and Texas, to name two that I know off the top of my head. So that happened. And so they decided we're going to now all again, like I was going to say before, now all the blue check marks on Twitter are saying, don't use GoFundMe. Don't use Go. We knew this a long time ago. Project Veritas knew it a long time ago. That's why they use Give, Send, Go for all of their fundraisers, for their whistleblowers.
Now I know about that. Yeah.
Oh, you didn't know about that?
No, now I know about the Give, Send, Go thing.
Yeah. I've been using Give, Send, Go in lieu of PayPal because PayPal deplatformed us. So we said, if you want to give a one-time donation to Uncover DC, go to Give, Send, Go and Uncover DC, and then you can give us a one-time donation there. And then it's voluntary whether you donate to Give, Send, Go, which is a Christian crowdfunding platform. So, of course, all of the people went to Give, Send, Go, and then they tried to take down Give, Send, Go. But that didn't stay, you know, that they came back after a little while. So,
right.
But again, like, this is what they're doing. So then when that stopped working, Give, Send, Go, I think the fundraiser there is already up to like a little over 4 million for the funding for these guys.
Okay. So they got half back.
Yeah. Which is a lot of money for what they need. Think about it.
It is.
Which is great. Keep them funded as long as they want to stay there. So now the police are saying, we're going to come in here. We're going to confiscate and block off your fuel lines. So they're blocking, they're trying to block off their supply lines to stop the trucks from being refueled and to stop supplies from getting in for them, basically to try to freeze them out, for lack of a better word, so that they leave. And the residents are all like, they're posting stories like, I'm deaf and I'm relying on whatever hearing I have and I can't hear anything because of these horns and honking. And
I love all the I love those. I love the archived tweets about people that are just at their wit's end. Like, good, good. Yes. Those people who prefer a comfortable slavery.
Yeah.
The hell with it.
Yeah, they would rather have tyranny and their little box apartment with, you know, whatever rules and regulations are thrust upon them than freedom. And they're complaining about the noise. But a video came out this morning in the library of truckers that are there that are saying, nah, this was a somewhat symbolic action by these cops. They haven't really done anything to us. Everything's still moving. We've still got our stuff coming in. We're fine. Nothing's changed. I think there's a lot of weirdness going on here. I think there's a lot of cops who don't want to stop these guys from doing what they're doing. So they're like, oh, we just took your can of fuel. Good luck. You see?
Yeah.
And then there's other ones that are saying, you know, we need a media narrative out there that we're winning. So this is what we're going to do. But I think the reality on the ground is much different. And now the people that organize this have a big legal team. Obviously, what's the name of it? Rebel News is covering everything. They're, you know, whatever. They've got the government there is apparently doing like surveillance and getting everybody's plate, and they're going to criminally charge everyone. And it's basically like what they did with January 6th. They're going to go and look through facial recognition and start sending people, you know, warrants and tickets and whatever. And the truckers are all like, sorry, sucks to be you. We're staying right where we are. We're not going anywhere.
Right. So, and but now you have a couple, like you said, couple of provinces that are turning their stuff around. But my thing is, and it's always the big question, is it's one thing to have everybody back off of these regulations. It's another thing to start pushing for actual accountability. And we're talking about Nuremberg kind of accountability.
There needs to be.
That if this is not adequate, if that does not happen afterwards.
No, there needs to be. And, you know, a lot of people are talking about what I think his name is Reiner Fulmich. is doing with the grand jury and the Nuremberg thing and the trial. I have not looked into it enough to be able to speak on it intelligently, but there's a lot of like different opinions out there about it. But that's basically what this guy is doing. He's supposedly trying to do a Nuremberg 2.0 with all this. And this has gotten to the point now where this is so global in nature and so wide reaching and so encroaching on every human being on this planet that like the United States convoy is starting to percolate too, Frank. They've got a little route plans now and they're going to go.
Yeah, that was supposed to start in what?
March.
In March?
Yeah, they'll start March 1.
And it's going to be from California to D.C., they said.
Yeah, but now they're starting to say, you know what? Maybe we should spend some time in D.C., but actually we should go park our trucks across the southern border instead.
Oh, well, makes sense.
I mean, somebody's got to be down there. I mean, to help those Border Patrol agents that aren't getting any help from anybody.
Help.
Did you see, too, what's going on at the Olympics right now?
Yeah, you're talking about all of the COVID testing and the athletes that are like, we're in hell and you got to stop. They're giving them like gruel to eat and stuff.
Yeah, like they're locked in. First of all, there was a report that came out. Again, it's War Room beating this drum of, oh, my God, there's a killer deadly virus. When the Marburg virus story kind of petered out on them because nothing ever happened with it. Like we talked about, remember with Dr. Parks?
Was that the hemorrhagic virus?
Fever? Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That virus, as contagious as it is, if it were actually a thing, we would have seen it all over the world. That was a month ago where they were like, oh, everyone's going to die and hemorrhage out of their eyes and nose and the Chinese, blah, blah, blah. It just wasn't plausible. It didn't pass muster, guys. It just didn't. And now there's this mystery virus at this Waldorf Astoria that has apparently killed two people, and it was in the building that Putin was staying in. This is what they're saying. And nobody's reporting on it. And their correspondent for China has this story of this happening on top of all of the athletes that have literally been locked away to eat like nothing and can't even come out of their rooms and like don't know where they are. Like, I don't know if you've got more on that than I did.
I found I was reading a little bit. I set aside a USA Today article on it so I can read it tonight. Let me see if I can find it. Where the hell did I put it in here? AP, no. Hold on a second. Maybe I emailed it to myself.
Sure.
Catching up. Where the hell is it? Hold on.
Yeah.
Wait.
It's no worries. It's no worries. Because
here we go. Okay, here we go. Headline, I cry every day. Olympic athletes slam food, COVID tests, and conditions in Beijing quarantine hotels. My heart can't take it, emotionally crushed Polish speed skater Natalia Masaluska wrote in an Instagram post. I'm very pale. I have huge black circles around my eyes. I want this all to end. I cry every day. Unreasonable, complained Dick Schrillenfennig. Schimmelfennig. A head of the German delegation in an interview with the nation's media, all three were speaking about the conditions they face or observed in the quarantine hotels in China used by athletes who test positive while the 2022 Winter Olympics. They describe inedible meals with little or no access to training equipment and confusing and at times seemingly illogical COVID-19 testing regime. They're probably all getting the anal swabs.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here.
They're using at the plate. I don't know if you saw this. Like somebody had posted an Instagram video, one of the athletes, that they're using this ridiculous facial recognition where they can recognize you without with your mask on, with a hat on. It doesn't matter. They know who you are by your eyes when you're walking in them.
We've had that even in this country since Italy. We learned about it in like 2013 or something. It's called PRISM. It's gait recognition that you can go head to toe in prosthetics to cover yourself up, but they'll still be able to recognize your walk.
Yep.
So I was doing this when I was reading this. I said, wow, this is like a Western liberal dream right here. I mean, think about the kind of control they have over everybody. I mean, this is the kind of molestation that they've been pushing for here. They got it in Australia. I don't know why this is. Oh, the Olympians are going through. Who? Everybody's going through this.
They tackled a journalist on while he was giving a while he was doing a report. Did you see that? The Chinese authorities tackled him.
It was a journalist from the Netherlands.
Yeah.
And he was live on air, and they started pulling him away. The lights go out, and then you just see these two wrestling silhouettes. And back at the studio, where the female anchor is just like increasingly more concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this the last time I'm going to see my colleague?
Why are you sending people there? Why is the Olympics in China? Why?
I don't know how they got it, but I think maybe we do.
Nobody's watching it. Nobody's watching it. ABC or whatever network it's on is like, oh, shoot. We have zero people watching this. Nobody cares. Nobody wants to see it. Everyone knows. I used to love watching the Winter Olympics. I love figure skating. I love it. I used to pretend that I was a figure skater in my living room wearing socks on my wood floor.
Obviously that was fun.
Yeah, I used to wear roller skates and try and do like triple Lutzes outside in my front yard, in my driveway.
I watched a little bit so far over the weekend.
Did you?
Because I'm just, especially at night, if we were just sitting around, put the baby to bed and just thinking about before I read or did something else. So I watched a little bit of the snowboarding on that first night.
It says in this article, more than 350 games participants, including dozens of athletes, have so far tested positive since January 23rd, with a seemingly inconsistent application of where the time is served prior to release, with two negative tests 24 hours apart. Some athletes are able to wait out their isolation in the athlete's village, with others taken to harsher quarantine hotel. Can you imagine?
I know. It's ridiculous.
In one instance, Jukka Jolinen, the coach of the Finnish men's hockey team, accused China of not respecting a player's human rights, saying Marco Anttila was kept in isolation for no reason. He tested positive 18 days ago, but has since repeatedly produced negative tests, only to trigger a positive upon arrival in China via the more sensitive tests deployed at these games. So they've got the cycle up to like 70.
Yeah.
Because they care so much about whether or not.
You know what it's probably, and I wonder how many Chinese athletes have been sidelined.
Oh, probably zero.
I wonder.
And then there's all the American defectors. Can you believe this nonsense? There's these Americans denouncing their citizenship and joining the Chinese teams.
I didn't know this.
Yeah. Yeah. Hold on. It's China's U.S.-born skater Zhu Yi faces online vitriol. Hold on. Let me find it real quick. Eileen Gu was the other one. She was an 18, yeah. She was the 18-year-old freestyle skier who was born and raised in the U.S. and decided to compete for China. So Gu and Gu or whatever her name is, and this one both decided to. They didn't renounce their citizenship. I think that was a stretch. They decided to play for China at the Olympics.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're doing terribly, by the way, but.
Well, you know what? Listen, I am so disillusioned with American athletes. I hate it because
agreed.
I always just assume that they are vapid, lefty, red diaper doper babies. And until they express some kind of a good, nice, wholesome thought, I generally root for other countries. I generally root for other countries. Last night, I saw a little bit of the figure skating, and Russia was in first place, and the Americans eked them out by like a point and a half. And I was like, damn it. I wanted Russia to win.
I got nothing to say. I mean, I got nothing to say. I really don't. It's almost like we want these people, these social justice warrior D-wads, to be shown the door, right?
I mean, listen, it's already enough to know that nobody's watching except you know me for
way to go.
A couple of moments, I guess. I used to
sit with my grandma and grandpa and watch the Olympics, the Summer Olympics, the gymnastics. We used to love it.
These were the best weeks.
Yeah.
Of either the summer which the summer was easy to have fun during, but especially the Winter Olympics when there was less to do because it was so cold up here in New York.
Yep.
You knew that you had 2 weeks of death-defying fun. It used to be so grand.
Agreed.
And you knew family were coming over every night. Coffee and tea was going to be put out.
Yep.
And everybody's just going to watch Olympic competition until, you know, the midnight or whatever the hell it was, depending on the time zones that this thing is. And man, I guess maybe that's why I still check in from time to time, because it's not the athlete's fault. Yeah. And it's not the athlete's fault. If you're calling in life, or at least in your youth, and your fire, your drive is for physical athletic competition, that is a very vital part of being human. It always has been.
The Romans and the Greeks.
In an organized fashion for sure. But competition, that's part of who we are. And I love seeing people at the top of their physical existence going for something bigger than they are, and at one time proudly representing their nations, and just having it be such a global festivity. And that's something that in itself is not bad. It should be encouraged. It's amazing. But to know the forces that have hijacked these kinds of things, the networks that are broadcasting them, the way that they can't allow you just to watch somebody ski down a hill during the slalom. You need to know all of their backstory and why. If they lose, it's ultra devastating. If they win, it's ultra triumphant. It's like, you know, everything is Maury Povich.
They started ruining the opening ceremonies with all the nonsense and symbolism and bull nonsense. Ugh.
Oh, that's one thing I have no interest in watching is opening and closing ceremonies. I'd rather just see people and maybe
competing.
Put it on mute. Yeah, put it on mute.
Yeah.
And just so you don't hear the commentating constantly.
I like watching the snowboarding. I used to anyway. Which is why what you're talking about right now, this nostalgic feeling, is why I sent you this Dayball clip over the weekend. I almost want to play it for people because it's so freaking funny. I mean, at least if you're from the Northeast, it is. There was a press conference with this new, a coordinator? I don't even know what he does. Will keeps up with New York sports because he just needs something. He needs something.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, who everybody who listens to or watches football is going to hate me for not knowing what he got a new position. He's doing his press conference. He's got a little personality. And he says to one of the reporters there, who's apparently like a blogger, like a low-level blogger from some website that has a really thick Brooklyn accent. What are you, from South Carolina? And the guy completely doesn't understand. Here, I'm just going to play it because it's funny. And then the radio, New York radio, talk radio, they mock him because it's funny. Here.
Is this the one I asked you about,
yes,
Chris?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Gee, this is awesome.
Allowing Dayball to show off some personality.
Over here, Coach. Over here.
Gotcha.
Hey, Coach, Chris Bisignano, Giant Insider. Congratulations.
What are you, from South Carolina?
No, actually from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
But a little congested, so.
I got you.
I had no idea.
Right, no, I'm actually from Brooklyn. What, don't sound like I'm from Brooklyn? I got a little congestion, actually. I actually test positive for COVID 2 minutes ago.
That sounds like Joe Benigni.
No, it's so funny that you say that, because he does the best Benigno impression.
Well, he sounds exactly like him. That's why when you sent me this, I was looking around, you know, I was keeping an eye peeled out for Joe. But I thought he retired. What the hell is he doing on air again?
You know, it's so funny that Will sent me right after that. He sent me this. Hold on. He sent me. Come on. We don't text that. Here it is. Yeah. Yeah. If anybody knows Joe Benigno, they'll know this.
I know Joe wasn't there yesterday, but I was still holding out hope that he was. Like, there'd be a question like, bro, what are you looking at? What are you doing? Why are you looking around? It's weird. That's just strange, bro.
That's the guy doing the Benigno impression.
He doesn't have to make that much of an effort.
I know.
It's just uncanny.
If you know New York sports at all, you know Joe Benigno. You can't not know Joe Benigno.
But you see, when you send me this, and when we talked to Sean, yep, Captain Deplorable, last week, these are the things that tell me, you know, this is, do I don't know. There's a very distinct line in the sand here as far as me staying in New York. Okay, I there's just one thing that could keep me here. And we'll see how that.
If you don't stay there, you had better get your ass down by me.
Oh, I know. We already had a couple other friends move down in the South Carolina area.
Oh,
so
yes.
It's becoming more and more of an advantage to you that we will probably at least be within an hour driving distance.
Yeah, you need to be down here. You need to be by the beach. You need to enjoy it down here. You know, as much as I complain, it's a beautiful place to live.
I need foliage, though.
There's plenty of foliage.
Not like New York.
No, not like New York, but there's trees.
There's no trees in South Carolina.
Yes, there are plenty of trees in South Carolina. I'm looking at them right now out my window. Trees, not palm trees.
I've been to South Carolina at least 10 times in my life. I've never seen one tree.
I'm looking at them right now. Tons of trees, regular trees, not palm trees. I'm staring at them as we speak.
Well, that's debatable.
Okay. Whatever you say, Frank. Telling you, get your ass down here.
Get your ass to Mars.
It says this new article I just pulled up. Oh, we didn't even finish this. This is funny.
Is this the one I asked you?
From Brooklyn. What? Don't sound like I'm from Brooklyn. I got a little congestion, actually. I actually test positive for COVID 2 minutes ago.
Oh, God.
No, I'm actually from Brooklyn.
I thought it was a joke when I was listening to it.
I mean, God. It's like, how do you not understand that?
Hey, Coach, over here.
Yeah, over here, Coach. I'm from giantsbehindthecurtain.org.
That's what Bob Gould's talking about.
I'm a little congested. I got some mutts in my sinuses.
I can't.
Come on. The guy reminds me of a joke. I'm going to go all the way back to when I was like 16 years old.
And,
it was
and that sounds like, wait, is that Evan Roberts though?
No. Evan,
that sounds like Evan.
Evan is with Carton and it bothers me. Let me tell you, I was in studio with Boomer and Carton for a good 45 minutes on their morning show 1 year.
I probably heard it.
Me and my sister.
I probably heard it. And it's crazy that this happened because I think I remember this. I think I was going to work at the YMCA, listening to this happen. I was, I think I remember this. Of course.
I sang the national anthem.
Maybe. I don't know.
I sang the national anthem. I just had Viviana. It was a long time ago, but I was really into sports. I mean, I was into sports. I was winning every fantasy football league, every fantasy baseball league. And I wrote into them because they had this little like, tell me what, I don't remember what the exact competition was, but my entry was just complete, like the biggest wise ass, like, I can't even explain it. And he called me immediately after they got it. And they said, you got to come into the studio. So me and my sister went into the studio and met with Boomer and Carton. And we were on the show for like a good 45 minutes, just talking sports and all kinds. It was so cool. And then Craig Carton sadly got involved in some shady stuff and got in trouble for it and went away to prison. And then he came back and he's back on air and God bless him. Cause he really has reformed. He was a gambler. It was all gambling stuff. But I loved Carton cause he was just like the guy that you could sit and just, he reminds me of what's his name? Your friend, I always get them confused.
Who?
Rob. Not Rob? Rob, the other guy that I,
Matt?
Matt.
Yeah.
The guy I'm afraid of.
You're afraid of Matt?
I'm afraid of Matt.
Why?
Because he's never nice to me.
What? Wait, what?
He's nice now, but the first couple times I met Matt, he's very intimidating looking, right? And, Matt, and he looks like he wants to kill you. Okay?
Wait, Matt? Yes. With the beard?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Matt was not nice to you?
No. We were in D.C. and he was with you. And we were at Trump Hotel, and I did everything in my power to strike up a conversation with the man, and he hated me.
No.
He might not have really hated me, but it felt like he hated me.
I don't know. Maybe he was just on guard. He's in a weird place with nobody he knows.
Well, he's very quiet, very quiet.
Yeah. Maybe he was high, too. Right. Who knows?
Could have been. I don't know. But anyway, long story short, Matt, me and Matt, like, I love the guy. We've talked now, but... Like, you know, you want to sit and bust his chops because that's just the kind of guy he is. Like, you just want to sit and just rail on him and bust his balls over and over again. That's what Carton's like. And he's funny and he's smart and he's witty and he's fast. So he's with Evan Roberts, this other host that was just starting, young kid, was just starting out back then. and ended up like going somewhere. And I don't like Evan Roberts. I don't like him. He is the consummate, you have to wear your mask, you have to get vaccinated, blah, 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 blah. You know, one of those.
I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah.
Then again, I haven't listened to New York sports radio in a long time.
Will puts it on YouTube and I listen to it with them because it's just reminds me of when it used to be.
Yeah, but I've heard that. I have heard those little things before where it's just like, you know, they're overly understanding about why one league or another is doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
We have to get through this and blah, 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 blah. Whenever I hear that kind of rah-rah shishkumba bullshit, I just turn it right off.
Yeah.
I said, I can't. I said, I'm already lowering myself.
Yep.
I'm already taking myself down a couple of notches to listen to sports talk radio.
Yep.
Okay. That is a cotton candy event for me. It has no worldly significance.
Yep.
It is just something for a little bit of shallow titillation.
Yep. Yeah.
So if I have to listen to this shilling.
Virtue signaling nonsense. Yeah,
no. So it's been a long time since I listened to it, but many years invested in listening to the fans. So
same. And so Carton doesn't do that either. He just doesn't. He just doesn't do it. So Evan and Carton are together now, and Boomer's with this guy, Gio.
Yeah.
Boomer Esiason, by the way. So anyway, that was that. I hope people find some value in this lesson. If nothing else, they get to know us a little better because...
Yeah, the last 10 minutes have been a little bit more personal. But you know what? We do so much deep diving.
I know. So, article I was going to read before I played the rest of that funny clip to me. It was funny to me. Mass disability event warning as huge numbers diagnosed with long COVID. I will let you guess the country.
Mass disability event?
Yeah.
Israel?
Nope. Next one.
Wait. Read it again.
A mass disability event is already underway at a scale truly hard to imagine, as one expert warns thousands of blanks may be forced out of work.
Well, is it Americans?
It's Australians.
Also, Australian. I was going to say it was either Australian. Of course, Israel is.
Oh, gosh. What they're doing in Israel.
Their vaccination rate is incredible. And of course, the correlating infection rate, too. But I mean, they were as recently as December. They're talking about whether or not how they can sneak a mandate through the courts out there. So I don't know. This is why Tracy, there's so much talk. There are certain things that are obviously verboten. You cannot have any kind of conversation about Holocaust. Not even the Holocaust, but Holocaust and what mass murder looked like, does look like, could it ever happen again, and to what degree? You know, I said it before. I don't like how everybody, of course, if you go out there, if you're like RFK Jr., you're in D.C. a couple of weeks ago,
yep,
and you reference to what could possibly be the greatest catastrophe, human rights catastrophe. In the history of our planet, at least the history of written, recorded history, that everybody could try to diminish what he was saying to hyperfixate on, oh my God, I can't believe he would actually use Holocaust because there was only ever one. And meanwhile, you say, listen, the 1940s, if you think that was the height of human depravity or the height that we would ever go to, that is very naive, that we can never do anything worse than what was going on during World War II. But the second thing is that look at Israel. You want to keep this focus on even just Jewish people. What Israeli Jews are being set up for right now. Just the fact that they have been forced this much into this kind of inoculation, but the fact that they are still, their civil rights are being attached to this more than most places on earth.
Well, they removed the passport now. You don't need that anymore, which great. I mean, for all the people that got vaccinated. The only people, there are Holocaust survivors that are speaking out against this now. People that are still alive. They're the only ones that anyone will listen to. Because they're like, they did the same thing to us in the beginning of the Holocaust that they're doing right now. They did the same thing. It was the same thing. And they're the only ones that can say it and not be, oh, apologize. Unless you're Whoopi Goldberg, then you get your job back in, a week and you're all set. Everything's fine. Where's Roseanne on all this?
I don't know. She does her streams. Everyone, I saw her live on YouTube. I didn't watch it, but I saw that she was live on YouTube the other night. So she stays active in whatever way she can, I guess.
Just crazy what they did to that woman. But yeah, I mean, look at the data coming out of Israel right now with severe illness and death. And there's another version of Omicron they're saying and blah, blah, blah. I'm telling you, after the state of the, I bet you anything, if there were another version of Omicron floating around the United States right now, we wouldn't even hear about it. Because the State of the Union's coming up in just a few weeks. And they can't be in the middle of another wave of pandemic during the State of the Union address. Can't happen. You see them now saying, oh, lockdowns weren't our thing. Lockdowns weren't our thing. That was the Trump administration because the John Hopkins study came out.
Yeah.
Stupid. Let's see what's going on here real quick. I haven't looked at this in a while. Data in South Carolina. Yeah, still 5,000-6,000 cases a day. So what else?
And it, well, it's just all going to, as you say, it's all just going to have to play out. And it's can't be afraid to speak the obvious anymore.
No, and people aren't. Like, we started, we're ending.
You can't be afraid to speak the obvious anymore. And it's apparent that this is a very critical juncture for the powers that be, because the only thing that they have now is to try to take down those who are actually who are a lot more viable and a lot more sought after than they are. I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible.
There's too many.
Right. So just stay frosty out there, everybody.
Yeah, for sure. And you have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Monday Val and
Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. We will be back here on Wednesday.
Later.
I'm Jerry Petock, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.